we need to do the strategy first.
Okay, so we're looking 2020 to 2021. Thank you.
Correct.
All right, carry on, please.
So this is the Corporate and Community Energy Action Plan. It's approximately an $85,000 project, but it'll be split between two fiscal years. By the time we won't be ready till probably the last 6 months of the year. And we're looking for funding from gas tax, and we'll be looking at the low carbon communities fund for that. We've got the clicker. Where's the clicker? This one is $32,000 for EV charge stations. This would be the installation of dual head electric vehicle charging stations at 10 Champlain Drive. There'd be two spaces in the public parking lot, two spaces in the municipal vehicle parking lot. It's gas tax eligible, and we're also looking for potential grants. And as Stephen mentioned earlier, with the engineering electric vehicle, that we'd be looking at a grant that would combine the electric vehicle and charging stations infrastructure together. This one is the Petite Riviere Watershed Flood Mitigation and Assessment Project. This is a placeholder of $100,000. Phase one and two is scheduled to be completed at the end of this month. And until phase two is complete, we really don't know what that figure should be. But so we've put a $100,000 placeholder. And if the project goes forward to an additional phase, which would be the phase three, that would be looking for provincial and federal funding and actually make that a prerequisite so that we're not going out on our own, that we're getting some other funds from the other two levels of government. And this is also gas tax eligible.
Over to Ms. Belver. Oh, sorry.
I had to leave the room for a moment, but I just wanted to ask. Yes, I do. Dave, one question, and it's in relation to the wayfinding strategy, and I was listening to it as I was going out the door. My concern is I've been trying to get signage for the LCLC. It's a five-year strategy. Does that mean we have to wait 5 years to get signage for the LCLC?
The expectation is we would do signage in year two. Okay. The strategy is year one. We would identify key assets that are priority in the strategy. I would strongly assume that the LCLC may be one of those priority identifications, so it would likely be year two.
And there's no way of getting it into this year?
It
to get a sign up.
I mean, you can put a sign up. The question is, where are you going to put a sign up? What is going to look like? Is it the right location? Are you spending money and then having to redo it?
Well, no, I don't want to do that. But I'm just saying, I'm not sure how long the strategy takes to get done. And is there a way to get it out sooner rather than later and get some signs up? It's probably one of the biggest complaints we get trying to find the facility off of in the municipality getting into where it is, whether you're coming off exit 12, exit 13, or wherever you're coming off. And once you come off exit 12 or 13, where do you go? Because it's not like it's right there.
Yeah, this would be a significant strategy design. This would require significant work. I would see the strategy taking 6 to 9 months to put together.
This is a consultant doing this?
We definitely would hire a consultant to do this. Absolutely.
Okay, just want to express my concern.
Okay, Ms. Bolivar.
Oh, sorry,
Councillor Noss.
Yes, thank you.
I missed your hand.
The signs would have to be put in the town, located in the town of Bridgewater, to get them through. Because if you put them out on in the municipality, the public will say we still don't know how to get there. You have to get right to the sign.
To be joint effort.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a joint effort. There's no doubt about it.
At some point.
You want me to comment on that?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, the purpose of the wayfinding strategy is to identify what you can and cannot do and how to direct people there. It very well may require some partnerships with the town of Bridgewater. That will be a significant portion of this strategy development. You know, just identifying where you would put signs, how you would get there, what they would look like, cost them. It's a big project.
Okay. Ms. Bolivar, you ready to go now?
Sure.
Third time lucky.
Okay. So in the capital budget, we put in $30,000 for ball field upgrades. If you remember last year, we did significant upgrades to field two, which is the lower field at the Mark, because of some damage from crows and grubs, and it was a whole thing. So we had one field of ours closed last year. Last spring, we had significant rainfall, and we had a considerable flooding between the two fields on the upper level, so between fields one and three. So with one field already closed and one was impeded quite heavily with water most of the time into the area of play, so then that was closed, so we were hampered with how much we could use our fields last year a little bit. So we're looking to improve the drainage between those two fields this year. So our park supervisor and our municipal engineer are looking into ways to make that happen this year.
Mayor Belvin Gunson.
Does that mean that the fields will be closed, or will this be able to be done preseason or whatever, so that it doesn't correspond with our rental time frame?
We'd be planning on having it done earlier so that it's not impeding on how much we're able to use the facilities, and trying to keep it, you are keeping it mostly between the two fields and out of the, you won't be impacting the field of play with the drainage project itself, but there would be some construction, but it shouldn't be too, not as bad as it was last year, we'll say that, for the amount we were closed.
Facilities, the MARC facilities assessment, we've allowed earmarked $50,000, and that's for a facilities condition assessment to help assess where the buildings are at now and to help assist with future capital decisions. It is a municipal facility, and it's aging, and we have a number of areas that we're concerned about and would like to look at, and they include the water system, which actually we have done a fair amount of work on, fire life safety, accessibility, there's been some work done there, energy efficiency, structural assessments, mechanical electrical systems, and wastewater. There's a variety of different areas in that facility. It's an aging facility. What is the functional program of it? So we've earmarked $50,000 aside to look at some of those. Before we start fixing one area, we want to have an overall assessment of what we're dealing with, and that would...
Mayor Bolivar-Gusson?
And we will have our accessibility lens on when we're doing this assessment?
Yes, and there has been actually an accessibility study done of the MER.
Okay.
Now, so there's some study work, and the water system, we've had a conceptual design done there and looked at deficiencies with the existing system. There's bits and pieces that have been done, but this year we kind of want to address all the other aspects and just see what we're really looking at as a facility-wide thing moving forward, knowing that, you know, it's an aging building and what is the role of it and what building requirements, you know, have to be in there for the long term.
Supplementary to that. Maybe it's one of our accessibility. I see Sarah and Kathy here. When you look at accessibility for this building, will there be changes that will have to be made? I guess it'll look at the overall costs to that. The province has said, thou shall do municipal buildings first. Is this classified, it's not just administration building, it's every building that the municipality owns, is that correct?
Yes.
And the time frame for that? I know that it's sooner rather than later on municipal buildings.
Ms. Kucharski.
The plan that we must have in place is April 2021, but the actual timelines for when changes have to be incorporated has not been set yet. But we have seen a very rough draft of built standards that I'm starting to talk to different directors about.
But they have
the
said
built standards are
the
first.
Province has said many times at meetings that I've been at is that municipalities, provincial buildings, are those buildings that will have to be done first?
Absolutely. Yep.
And Councilor Merrick, no? No comment? Thank you.
So, I just mentioned that, like, that's just one aspect of the list. And it's probably not as high a priority as other ones. And you can't address accessibility without, we want to know all the deficiencies and then look at it as a, from a global perspective.
So I have a question regarding the accessibility with the brick building there, the two-story building. If you did not use the top floor, then you wouldn't have to worry about making it accessible, would you?
The main level of that marker is accessible.
Yes. But if you didn't use the top floor, the second floor, you would not have to make it accessible, would you?
Right. If you eliminated use of the top floor, the main level, yes, it's still accessible on one complete level.
Correct. And so you may find that it would be cheaper not to use the top section and rather than put in the accessibility, whatever you would have to do to make that accessible. Yeah. Thank you. I presume you're still going to carry on?
The soil remediation, as we recall last year, we discovered some soil contaminants along the south side of the program, the red brick building. So we did have Strum Environmental come in, and they actually just completed an ESA, or an Environmental Site Assessment Level 2, and I just got the report within the last week. And it identified the type of contaminants in the soil and the extent. They delineated the extent of it through borehole sampling and test pits. And so I have the report now. It has gone underneath the building and underneath the deck. So they're proposing, perhaps they've changed the guidelines over the years. That you don't necessarily have to remove all the contaminated soil. There's a way of monitoring over a fairly short period of time, not years, but it is contained. They went out with borehole samples around the perimeter. And they found no contamination. They went, and so they've got it pretty well delineated. And it is potential to leave it in place and to seek closure from the Department of Environment, and they would be involved in a monitoring program. So I've earmarked for $30,000 for that exercise.
Mayor Bolivagusson?
How close to the water table is it?
They did look at the groundwater. And it's all part of their assessment. They feel optimistic. I don't know the number right off, but they're optimistic. It's not really realistic in this case to try to clean it up, given its under structure. But they're optimistic. It would stay in the ground, and it would just be, and it would probably go in the deed that it's there and registered. But it's not. It's a lot cheaper than ripping buildings down and.
And what type of contamination?
It's from an underground oil tank from heating fuel, and it was removed. The tank was removed probably in the 90s when it was required to be, but they didn't remove all the impacted soils around it.
No further questions. Sorry. All right.
Next one is the system, the water system. This all started by having a request to replace the roof of the water bunker, which is the little structure that the well and all the well equipment is down in, and that's kind of started a whole study, and it turned out to be a bigger number, so we ended up putting that aside as part of the facility assessment. It's probably in excess of $100,000 to look at a complete water system upgrade. So we've just parked that aside now with all the other potential upgrades that we'll be looking at down the road. But in the meantime, there's some items that we want to address right away, and that's the well is not a high-producing well, and it has a cistern with it. So there's no controls on it currently. So if there's running toilets or anything, the taps left running, it can actually drain the cistern and the whole well, and we've had that happen a few times. So we have replaced all the toilets in the building last year, and we are looking at putting controls. We have Kevin Cook. He does all our control work for the wastewater plants. We're looking at putting control systems that will shut it off when it exceeds a certain level in the cistern, so we don't end up draining it and having to prime the whole system. So that's sort of an area. And we're also looking at an interim patch job on the roof of the bunker, just to tide us over until we know where we're going.
Ms. Bolivar, you're taking over now.
Okay, so we have LaHave Sunset Park, which is $30,000, which is a carryover from this fiscal. It's something that we've been looking at doing the design and construction of some accessible parking spaces for that park, where it is right on a busy highway. There is not really safe, adequate parking for people to access that park. We have looked at different options, but we're looking right now at putting 2 to 3 parking spaces on the same side as the park, just inside the chain gate of the park. So moving the parking spaces just inside the park, which only 2 or 3 spaces wouldn't impede too much of the actual park space. And then you're getting them off the road, and it's a lot safer and accessible for the park.
Okay. I do have a question if nobody else does. There is some coastal erosion issues with that park. Are those being addressed as well?
That is something that we are looking from Hurricane Dorian. We had some issues with the rock retaining walls that okay. we are looking at as well.
So is that part of the $30,000, or is that a separate expense?
That's separate.
Operating. That become
kind of operating.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
River Ridge Common, we have a $300,000 budget for this to complete phase 4 of the project. That is $170,000 worth of new budget this year, and a carryover of $130,000 from the 2019-2020 budget, which you'll be asking for a little later. So this would be phase 4 of the project. This would essentially wrap up that project of everything, all the projects that we had planned. So single track mountain bike trails of about 5 to 6 kilometers, the OHV pull-off areas adjacent to the Sechar Valley Trail, and additional wayfinding signage, and then planting some native and edible species at the park.
Councilor Moore.
Through you, Dottuzzi, it was suggested a while back about a swing set.
Yeah, so that would be the, that was budgeted in the 2019-2020 budget.
Okay.
And so the accessible swing set and the shade awnings
are
what we are looking at, that carryover of $130,000
okay.
for.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Councilor, Mayor Bolivar, I guess.
The only question that I would have is the 5 to 6 kilometers of bike trails, whatever, and the off-highway vehicle pull-off. The off-highway vehicle pull-off is supposed to be where there's a large pile of aggregate, I believe, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is the aggregate from there going to the trails to make room, and does it line up with each other?
I believe most of it will be used on those accessible trails. The rest of that's the stockpile that we've been using for all the trail systems.
Yeah.
So most of that should be gone that we can make an accessible pull-off area.
Okay. And it does go on that side, correct?
Yes, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I have 2 questions, if I may, if somebody else has questions. Will this be the finish of River Ridge Common?
This is the projected finish. This
projected
is the end
finish.
Of our, yep.
And then will there be a capital fund set up for future expenditures after that?
So our depreciation fund contributions are based on share of capital assets, your TCAs. And so as you invest in your properties, the rate that you should be contributing to those reserves go up. We don't have an individual reserve set up for each park.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, it's a new sort of division of recreation issues between engineering and recreation. All right, back to Mr. Pace.
Right, this is the Wells Lake building. We've just recently got familiarized with that property. I believe that the demolition of 2 old buildings on the property down by the water's edge, that was, I think, in previous budgets, a carryover, but we're looking at, they really have no useful use that we see in the future, so we're looking at taking those 2 old buildings down. The garage building is quite interesting. It's all monitored, alarm monitored, and heated, and has been for some time, and it has potential to have some role down in our future, not undefined at this point, but it is an asset in this valley that we may be able to make use of. So I just earmarked $30,000 in case we do have a use for that, that we have a little bit of money just to make use of it in the next year.
Mayor Bolivar-Gustin?
With the removal of these two buildings, there's no chance of contamination or things in this that it's going to be more like a half a million when we're finished. Is it? It's Have we looked at these buildings closely?
I haven't looked. Just from the exterior.
These are just shed type?
Shed type.
Okay.
And we did demolish last year the sun shelter at Hurdles Beach, and we were working with the MJSB, and so we were able to do that very economically. I'm not expecting any big hazardous material or anything.
Okay. Councilor Noss.
There was a fair amount of discussions going on a few years ago with the vocational school. Has that ended?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was what we was hoping to graduate is. We use that for the vocational school.
Maybe in the future we can look at either if we can't use it, renting it or something. I don't. Right now we are heating the building though and monitoring it. So,
with the demolition now, these is two buildings plus the school. We pay the tipping fees, do we not, for the material?
Yes. What we did with the Hurdles Beach one, I made an arrangement that was just for, I just had them pay trucking fee. I just went out to pricing for trucking, and then it went directly to the MJSB, and they billed us directly, so we got a preferred rate.
So it's only for trucking you're paying, not for the materials being?
Well, then MJSB bid us back, billed us directly for the tipping fee.
Oh, okay.
At a preferred rate to a contractor. Yeah. So we saved quite a bit of money that way, and I would plan to do the same with these ones.
I know it throws up out the diversion credits as well with all this material going in. Anyway, carry on, please.
So this is $15,000 earmarked for future land purchases, and again, it's just a placeholder for if there if a land purchase comes up for a new park development.
Questions? Yeah, carry on.
Yep, I'll speak to this one. This is comes out of the strategic priorities discussion. Council prioritized some rec projects, which you've already seen, and Indian Point Rest Stop came up during those discussions. It is a piece of property that we own, and Council has provided information that suggests it would be very economical to develop and might address an encroachment issue. But the agreement coming out of strategic priorities is that we would include a small budget of $10,000 for discussion in the capital budget, and then we'd have to see where staff resources shook out, whether or not we were able to achieve that in this fiscal year.
I have a question of MA. In the $10,000, does that account for the staff time? In other words, is there a payment for staff time out of that?
No. None of these capital budget figures take into account staff effort. If you're going to hire a consultant, then that's an external cost, and that's included there. But no capital budget figures include an allocation for staff time.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. Who's next?
So we have $30,000 budgeted for the Osprey Village Trail. So this is the trail connection through the municipal property in Osprey Village. And we're looking at doing this in partnership with the Central Nova ATV Association project that connects Pine Grove to Oak Hill. So this would take us from Nogler Road down to the Tower Trail.
Just a clarification, though, that the portion from the Nogler Road over to the Pine Grove Road is not part of this project. That's a project of the Central Nova ATV Club.
Road.
This is just speaking to the trail for the portion that's over MODL land,
right,
or possibly over MODL land. And we're currently working on design to make sure we don't impact the economic development potential at Osprey Village while still getting the connectivity we've been looking for.
Any questions? Councillor Bell.
I got two questions, if I could, please.
Yep,
and if I can just do a rewind a little bit. We previously talked about the Indian Point rest stop, and you had raised the question whether there was additional costs for staff time. Mm-hmm. And we're told no, there's 10,000 there. Should we be looking at a higher figure there in order to make this happen properly? Like, if 10's not a sufficient number, should that be 15? Or what? I don't want us to go to a point and say, oh, well, we have to push this off again. because we didn't put the right figure in.
Go ahead.
So the direction from council on this was to include this figure. This involves no preparation on staff's part in terms of what would go in there. The council discussion highlighted that you may do a bit of clearing or demarcating where your property boundary are and perhaps some benches and ensuring you can safely cross over the ditch or whatever the transition is from the roadway to that piece of property. But it was expected to be minimal investment. We wouldn't suggest that you should increase the budget in anticipation that you'll put staff time towards it, unless council wants to change your direction and say, no, this is a strategic priority and we'd like to hire external project management, for example, to get that done this year.
Okay. Now, maybe Councilor Ernst would know the answer to this, but is there a community group that already has a vision in mind of what can go here? And from their input, could probably most of the work be done for this dollar figure?
I will answer that, if I may. A bench and just a basic boardwalk to get across the ditch. You'd be hard-pressed to spend $10,000 there. If you spent $10,000, I think you'd want to be asking some questions.
Well, when you previously spoke about this, I understood it was a culvert across a ditch or a bog area. I just wanted to make sure that we put in what is needed and in a safe manner so that once it's open, it's there. But I just wanted to make sure you had a dollar figure in that you were comfortable with.
I have in my mind what would be suitable. It may well differ from what our municipal engineers may consider.
Okay. The reason I ask this is because we put a bridge in down in Day Spring that I think I can drive a Jeep across. And I understand that that might have been necessary to put steel girders and everything. But I don't know if it's Councillor Wynot had a big swing down there or not. But it seemed like sort of overkill. So that's fine. And then my second question, this Osprey Village Trail, I understand that this is an all-purpose trail, so someone will be able to come with an ATV from Annapolis and end up joining eventually over in Oak Hill to continue driving to St. Margaret's Bay. Is that
yes.
Correct? Okay. This is a very nice initiative. I've heard people talk about that, and I just wanted to make sure. When we had the announcement with the trail between Centennial Trail and the Mark, that I understand was only a pedestrian trail. So I wanted to make sure I was telling people
the
right information.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Because our Mark trails are not accessible, are only pedestrian or
cyclist. Oh, bicycle.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Councilor Noss.
Yes, to you, Mr. Chairman. The Oakland lot, you said there's encroachment, which we know there's encroachment onto. Are we going to have any difficulty to take our land back, or are we going to have to go through lawyers?
Your best person to ask for that is our CEO, and I will tell you what he told me, in that the land is not migrated. If it's migrated, then there cannot be adverse possession. Am I correct on that,
yes.
Mr. McKeown? And then you can answer the second part of the question about taking the land back.
Well, it's, if it's ours, it's ours.
It's only 1,600 that migrated. Yeah.
So with respect to a claim for adverse possession, we've always been in possession of the property. So it would be, they'd have to establish a claim of over 20 years. We can stop that clock by migrating the property. We don't anticipate that they would advance a claim for adverse possession on this particular piece of property. So when we commence on this work, there is a survey plan in place for the property. So it's easy to migrate. It's well-defined. We'll pick up the adverse or any claim for adverse possession in the migration process. So we don't anticipate anything other than a migration.
Okay, just don't want to see the highway blocked.
I beg your pardon?
I wouldn't want to see the highway blocked while we're...
I know the highways do have the 33 feet from the center lines. Okay. And thank you very much, Mr. McKim. It's a 1,300 square foot piece of property. I've got a file a quarter of an inch thick on it. All right. Where are we up to?
We're up to here.
Tax funding, gas tax funding of non-owned infrastructure.
So we will move on now to the AT plan. So we have earmarked $565,000 for paved shoulders on municipal roads. The route that we have identified is Route 332 from Highway 3 to Bayport. Staff have been working with provincial officials around the importance of this route and working with Bicycle Nova Scotia about identifying it as a blue route. If that all goes through, there would be no municipal cost share. The province would fund that all on their own, which would be fantastic. With that said, should this not cost, this project not cost us, we are looking at a possible investment of the Trunk 10 upgrades to make that an active transportation route as well, going from the Cookeville Irving out to Osprey Village.
Mayor Bolligason.
And I did have a meeting here with Glenn Strang in relation to making sure that there were no other parcels of roads in our municipality going to be constructed in a manner that we're able to partner for active transportation money or there. And he assured me that there were not any, because I know last year on the 325, it's like chasing your tail after they've already started a project. So it's nice to find out for sure. Now, hopefully that is the case and that we're not doing that active transportation manner. They must have a five-year plan. I've never seen it for...
They do. That's something that our active living coordinator and the director look at regularly with the Department of Transportation.
It would be nice to see what is proposed for our municipality in relation to the active transportation.
Any further questions?
So we have allocated $55,000 for the trails in the district. So this is an annual contribution from gas tax to the local trail groups for the maintenance of our non-owned trails, so the rail trails in the municipality.
Dave Waters.
This is our annual contribution to rural internet. Really difficult to make much comment today. We are hoping to come back in the near future with something with a little more clarity. But this is our standard $500,000 that we allocate to internet projects.
Okay. Who's this one now? Stephen Bass, our engineer.
This one. We're looking at cost sharing with the paving and upgrades for the H and J class roads at $1.2 million. And we submitted our list to TIR for about 6.48 kilometers of roads being funded by the gas tax.
Any questions on that? I do have one if nobody else has. If these are cost-shared roads, does the municipality not own half of them?
No, it's just through a service exchange. They're all owned by TIR, but through a service exchange, I think back in the 90s, we just contribute towards the upgrades and maintenance.
So this is a formal agreement that has been worked out between the municipality and the province?
Yes, it's part of a service exchange program.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Back to me. So we'll look at the details of your draft budget, so we can kind of... This is like a big picture. Go back and look at what you've just seen over the last couple of hours here. So we know that we want to consider our financial position when we are looking at our capital projects. We know our current financial position is strong. Our major financial milestones will be met in the next term. We're going to be debt-free. Our rate of investment in key areas
may not be sustainable, like because we are looking at significant expenditures in road paving and internet projects coming up and trails and NSTIR partnerships. So the operating reserves are close to your FCI threshold. They're not under them, but they are close. And the capital reserves look like they are depleting, but a lot of that has to do with us spending all of our gas tax every year. That is the plan, to try to make sure that those reserves are spent first. When we look at our key areas of investment, we have provincial cost sharing on roads. Our average investment is about $670,000 a year. Municipal subdivision paving. Our proposed paving projects are averaging about $850,000 per project for a $1.7 million total in the two that we've identified. Our internet investment of $2.5 million or $500,000 a year. Our recreation investment average is about $456,000 a year. And our active transportation investment on average is about $308,000 per year. So we are looking at some priorities and options here. Our council strategic priorities are competing for some of the same resources. Our road strategy with our NSTIR partnership is $1.1 million. And our two subdivision roads are looking at the Harold Wynot Craig Chandler at 878 and Meldrum Buena Vista and Aspen at 833. So we were looking at some alternate models with municipal roads. Because, you know, could we defer some of the paving based on what we see here today? Do we determine a maximum level of funding we are willing to give to NSTIR? Or do we look at exploring alternate cost-sharing models for J-class roads? Because I believe that other municipal units are looking into that now.
Okay, so you're looking for input from council on that right now? If anybody has any comments on roads? Councillor Garland?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What are the other models that some other municipalities are looking at?
Our CAO
is coming up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, with respect to the J-class road cost sharing model, the municipality of the County of Kings has put a proposal to the province to try to create a system of cost sharing that would provide predictability in funding and put the decision making in the hands of the municipality for choosing which J-class roads will be paved. It would be set up in an asset management type scheme where the province would commit to a certain level of funding per municipal unit, likely based upon the number of kilometers of J-class roads that the municipalities have. So currently, in the list of municipalities that have J-class roads, we rank third behind Kings and Cumberland County. So the formula would be based roughly on a percentage of J-class kilometers within the municipality, with the province establishing a pot of money, dedicating that to the municipal units based upon some formula, the municipality being able to put in an amount up to that level, and then based upon a roughness index, which is what DTIR currently uses, the roads would all be ranked, and then the municipal units would choose which roads to move forward. The hope is to provide consistency in funding and decision making, which currently isn't always happening. With respect to the J-class road funding. So it's looking for the province to put more money in, so have a strategy for the upgrading of all J-class roads over a 20-year life cycle. So that has gone to the province. I spoke with the Director of Engineering, Scott Quinn, at the County of Kings on Monday afternoon. They would be willing to come down and present to our strategy committee with respect to their proposal. The province hasn't responded to it yet, but they are considering it. So that's the only other model that I'm aware of that's being proposed by any of the units.
Councillor Garland, supplementary.
I would be interested in having them come and speak to us. The way things are going now, we just, you know, it's just one small pot really in the big scheme of the province that everyone's clawing after. So anything to try to ramp this up a little.
Thank you. Any further comments on roads? Mayor Bolivar-Gessen?
Yes, I did receive an email yesterday in relation to our J-Clash road strategy, and I've been asked to meet with the local MLA in respect to them. I'm going to do that sooner rather than later so that I can find out what the intent is to know. There was some indication there may be some extra dollars, so we'll take it from there.
Okay. Anybody else? I have. There are no municipal roads or J-Class roads in District 8, but it does say defer paving of municipal subdivision roads. I presume you're looking at maybe an adjustment there on the phase. Is that correct? On the amount committed?
Well, I think that was part of the we wanted to council to have a discussion on whether they the feasibility of doing the 1.1 million in NSTIR partnership plus your 1.7 million in two municipal roads, and was that that's a lot of road book work in 1 year, and were you prepared to do that in this fiscal?
Councillor Bell.
I too would like to hear Kings County come down and do a presentation to us. I think that if the different municipal units were thinking all the same way, we may have better leverage and asking for consideration. I certainly think the message has gotten through to the Honorable Chuck Porter that more money needs to be put in that particular pocket under municipal services or highways in their annual budgets, because the need is outweighs the amount of money that's there. I think we have to reemphasize that idea. I am interested to see our mayor meet with the both MLAs in this area to find out what monies might be made available to us. 50-cent dollars are always more attractive than using our own $1 dollars. But we should certainly take as much as is made available to us and put it to good use, because we never know when this program will cease to exist or the parameters will change not in our favor. So that's my comments.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment? Councillor Noss.
Yes, I was wondering when we was going to run up against this wall. And it's happened. We've been pretty free in spending and giving, and saying we was going to be debt free in 2021. But how many years after 2021 will we be back in debt again? And I know parks and trails are great, and the bridge across New Germany is a large sum of money for 1 year to give them $162,000. And these are places that we may have to cut back a little bit, and because we've been going freely. And the time of reckoning is getting near, and this is the start of it.
And I think it's, if I may, Mr.
No,
sir, Chair,
go ahead.
I think it's just that we want to make sure that when we are planning in our 5 years that we aren't depleting our reserves so quickly, and you know, making sure that we have a good cushion for emergencies when they come up, and so that's what this is just it's a cautionary thing, and it's just to draw your attention to think about how where you really want to spend your money and where your priorities are.
I don't mind spending some in each place, but I don't want to spend the full bucket in one place. Reed, get going.
Yes, sorry. Alex DeMarc, you have a comment.
I never saw you.
What your director of finance is trying to get at is, you know, at the start of the council term, we developed some strategies. So you made it clear you had priorities around addressing the issues on internet, addressing issues on road. You'd made the commitment to LaHave. So in creating your five-year financial strategy, it gives you some strength in terms of you can see what those rates of investment are going to do. So if you remember back to when we developed our road strategy, we had said, I think it was a rate of $250,000 a year. Inevitably, year one of your five-year capital budget has more projects in it than you're projecting forward because the immediate asks are there. So the rate that Elena has presented is, I didn't take note of it, but it was somewhere around
$675, wasn't it?
Your average investment on roads per year since you've put in that strategy is not $250,000, it's $670,000. And this year you have the potential of $2.7 million of road work. So the advice that you're getting from your financial staff is that that's not a reasonable rate of investment, and we'd like some direction from the committee on where are we pulling back. Should we hold out? Should we choose between one of the two municipal subdivision paving projects? Should we look at a cap on the amount of J-class paving that we'll do this year? But where you have a five-year financial strategy and your five-year capital plan says a quarter of $1 million, 2.7 is not a sustainable rate, and we need some input. And as Councillor Noss has said, you have some overall financial goals, so you have to make choices, therefore, to stay within those overall financial goals.
I'd like to just ask a question, if I may, at this stage. First of all, this looks like a decision we have to make. When do we have to make that decision? That would be my first thing in the timeline. And secondly, are you looking at holding a budget workshop so we can discuss these matters in more detail?
I think the plan was for this is your budget workshop. You're here at your committee level. You're discussing your capital budget. If there are things that you need more information on and you want us to do some more work on, we can certainly bring that back to another meeting. That's certainly up to you. But we are just wanting you to consider that where you're going to leave your reserves in for the next term, for the next council term, and what position will they be in, and so if you think that all of these municipal roads need to be paved this year, the money is there and it can be done. But that's a consideration and a choice that you should be making.
Can you talk about this budget schedule?
Well, yeah, and the budget schedule is open to be looking at these budgets again. This is not your final decision day.
Gotcha. All right, Councillor Noss, I think you're first, and then Mayor Volov, I guess, and you're second.
I know they're not in my district, so I can say that something that may not please the councillors that I'm talking about. But if we split it in the roads, do half in one district and half in another district this year, instead of doing both to the full amount, do maybe the Harrell-Wynock Road and the Meldrin, whichever one's in that way, rather than putting them all in at one time. That's a fair amount of money.
Mayor Volov, I guess. Sorry? Stephen, do you want to comment first before the mayor comments?
We have got design packages as a bundle, and the idea was that we would get cheaper pricing to bundle them, but you can certainly break them down. Another thing we've discussed with these, they did go to petition. There'll be no contribution from the homeowners on those streets, and they did buy, cheaper lots that were graveled, and I think that's another thing of how is it in fairness, should we be paying 100% of the paving? Those are things that we've been jostling with ourselves with. Should we be looking at maybe the petition process and increasing decreasing the level of resident participation? Those are all thoughts to get more involvement from homeowners on those roads. Those are all options to be discussed.
Okay. Mayor Volov,
I guess I would like to have that meeting with our local MLAs to know what the thoughts are there, to know what's out there for 50-cent dollars before we look at 100% dollars. So I would like to be able to bring that back to this table before we really look at a firm decision on this, if that's possible.
Considering there are J-class roads in both MLA's districts, that would be local MLA's?
I said MLA's.
Oh, you said MLA. Sorry, I left ear is not good.
Suzanne Long's.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And that request came in from Minister from Lunenburg.
All right. Anybody else wish to comment? No? I think we can carry on.
So if we look at our strategic priorities, again, we are looking at our parks and trails. I think Councillor... Oh, sorry, I don't have my mic on. Councillor Noss did mention that the Nooner Germany Trail Bridge, there's been a request for $162,000, and we have a $300,000 in River Ridge Common investment this year that we're looking at as well. So is there some opportunity for alternatives here, or does council want to do any, you know, make any different recommendations on that? Where?
Gotcha.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Councillor Moore.
I do have to agree with Lee. I mean, you can only do so much within your budget. And the River Ridge Common Park is being used quite a bit, right? A lot, with what we've already got. So if everything's not completed, I know we was thinking that whatever's in the budget this year is going to complete the whole project. If we have to wait another year to complete the whole project, it's fine. It's being used, what we've got is being used very well. As for the New Germany Trail Bridge, I already stated here in open session, I think that their plan is aggressive. I think it's a great idea, but I think their time frame is aggressive. And I would hope that, of course, the $162,000, I know that it was stated that that's the price that if it's done this year, if not, it will go up the price. But we, of course, will be contingent on if they get their pricing, all their funding in place, correct? This $162,000 will not be spent this year if that project does not get its full funding.
I know you're looking at me. I'm looking at somebody to say yes or no.
Yeah. I mean, we could put it in the budget, but, I mean, we don't allot it if the project doesn't go. Yeah.
Councilor Garland?
I know.
Councilor Carver.
What?
No, sorry, I apologize. I was just acknowledging Councilor Carver for his hand up.
It's a hard decision to make between these two things. The park is already usable, so you could, you know, push that over a little bit. But that bridge from the presentation that was here, that was a price that they got for now. And it was a lot better than the price they had anticipated and had gotten from some other suppliers. So it's the usual thing. If you wait, it's going to cost more. So I see it as something that if it's possible to do it now, probably we should assist them in some way just because it's going to be a lot less money to do it now. I think some of the quotes they had were well over $500,000.
Sorry, my apologies there. I was just mentally but verbally acknowledging Councillor Carver, putting his hand up. Councillor Carver.
Well, you take when our halls come in for grants. They don't always get what they want. This is really aggressive. And when I look at all the expenditures and so on, and the gas taxes depleted, your reserves is being depleted. I think we really have to tighten our belts up. You just can't keep giving and giving. If you was running a business like this, how long would you be in business?
Mayor Bolva, I guess so. Thank you.
I guess the recommendation here that I see from staff is to go back to the $138,000 that was carried over from last year to this year.
We're looking at $130,000 carryover and $170,000 of new budget.
Okay, so it would be $8,000 of new budget according to this. So it's the $130,000 carried over from last year that we already had in the budget. So it would be an additional $8,000 and the $162,000. And I, in talking with some individuals, I think they're still aggressively out there looking for other ways to fund this bridge as well, so that there may be some opportunities that it's not the $162,000. I would like to see a place saver for it, but again, it's contingent on them being able to secure or the provincial and federal dollars to do this. And they do have a very aggressive schedule to do this. They want to start in April, May. So if they can secure that kind of money that quickly, hats off to them, because most organizations would not be able to do that. So, again, I think going forward, you're looking at $8,000 additional money for River Ridge Commons this year, and then the money for the bridge is what you're looking at, based on the recommendation, if we agree with staff's recommendation there, and I do agree with their recommendation.
Any further comment? Councillor Noss?
What is the cost of the bridge, the total cost of the bridge?
May I?
Yes, sorry. Go ahead, Councillor.
I think it was on the upper side of $550,000. I think it was closer to maybe $600,000, if I remember correctly.
Ms. Bolivar is going to come up with that answer.
I believe they were asking for one-third of the project costs. Mm-hmm. So if that was accurate, it would be just shy of a $500,000 project. $486,000? That doesn't seem high enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was closer to
$600,000. And they waited almost till budget time. If they were doing this, they should have been here a year ago looking for money. It's when you step in and ask for that kind of money for one project, plus all the other money that is allotted for the commons and everything. It's to me, I think somebody may get in trouble. So there'll be a lot of it will be complained about what we're doing. So can they raise money somewhere? Some money somewhere else, and. It's, to me, I think we have to start closing the gate.
Thank you. Councillor Carver.
Yes, I agree with Mr. Noss, because the residents see that the municipality give that kind of money to build a trail with all the other things that's needed, and a lot of low-income families along with it. They're not going to be very happy.
Sorry. All right, sorry, Ms. Bolivar, and then Councillor Moore.
Well, we were just able to find the budget for the bridge, and the total cost was $542,900. The potential funding partners were the province, Communities, Culture, and Heritage at $180,000, the OHV Infrastructure Fund at $150,000, fundraising for $150,000, and then the request to the municipality of $162,900.
Okay, and Councillor Moore?
I had a conversation after the presentation. I got a phone call from the presenter, and of course, I do feel that this is a very aggressive time frame, and I stated that again. It would be nice, I'm told, that that price will not hold over a two-year period. I've not seen anything in writing saying that, so... that's something I don't know if the Recreation Department could contact the presenter and see if we can find out somehow if that could be a price held over 2 years. I'm not quite sure.
Any further comment? I have a question, if I may. If the bridge was built, who does it belong to? It's a provincial asset. The trail is a provincial asset. Right. So who does the bridge belong to? Does it belong to the province, the Trail Association, or the municipality?
We certainly don't own it.
Okay, we don't own it. So I think you... The reason I ask this is that there could be another non-municipal asset that you're contributing to.
That's exactly what it would be.
Right. Yep, okay. Whether it be provincial or the Trail Association.
Exactly, yeah. And you see that especially with our usage of gas tax funds with the change in the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our investments have increased because we are able to invest in assets that we don't own. So that's been largely internet infrastructure. It's also been trails. And there has been some, for example, paved shoulders on provincial roads.
Okay.
But I would expect if we did some analysis on that, bigger chunk of our gas tax spending is going to non-owned infrastructure.
Okay. I have from authority who said it would become provincial asset. No, not Trail Association. Anyway, to carry on. Oh, sorry, important announcement here. Lunch is coming at 11:30.
We can hold it.
We can hold it, but that's when they have to deliver because they have other stuff to do. So if you feel the urge at 11:30, we can have lunch and carry on through. Where are we up to now? Sorry.
I think we are now on strategic priorities on under active transportation.
Okay.
And this is the discussion around the paved shoulders on Route 332, which we're hoping that the province will make a provincial blue route, and a Trunk 10 upgrade estimate of $2 million. So we're wondering if how council would like to attack that. If it is a $2 million ask, and we know we have $565,000 towards that cost this year, and so staff was making a suggestion, perhaps we offer partial to this, but it may change with whatever your meetings are having about stuff. I don't know.
So for clarification, is this the exit between exits 12 and 13?
No.
No. Thank you.
So the province has indicated that they're doing traffic analysis on the Trunk 10, which goes from the boundary of the town of Bridgewater out to Osprey Village. So they have concerns around the traffic signals there and the flow of traffic, particularly around some of the coffee-based businesses that may create traffic issues, but also the entrance and exit from Osprey Village and the amount of time it takes. They also have identified that they want to resurface that area because it's prone to cracking and potholes, so they've been patching and patching. So over the next 2 years, they'll be finishing their analysis of traffic, making some design changes to improve traffic flows, and then they'll be resurfacing the entire portion that runs from the boundary of the town of Bridgewater out to Osprey Village. As part of the work that we do with transportation, we are always coordinating and looking for those opportunities where we can make pedestrian and active transportation opportunities available when they do those kinds of projects. This particular instance, we have to cross a 100 series highway. And so it's not the normal system where the transportation says, here's the portion that we're repaving, there is shoulders, will cost share with you, or if it's a blue route, they tend to take all of the costs. So in this situation, we will have to do some design work, and that will also involve some decision making on council's part, because there is likely a cheaper option which provides simply pedestrian, or a multi-use that would involve space mostly for bicycles as well. But because there's a bridge structure crossing a 100 series highway, we need to get some design information. So transportation has provided information on the structures that are there. It's the municipality's responsibility to do that design work, looking at the concept for both options. And then we would submit whatever design that council wanted to pursue to transportation, who would then tender all of the work. And at the point of submitting the design, that's where we'd enter into negotiations with them on how do we cost share that infrastructure.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Rolovigesson?
In relation to this one, and I asked this question before, with the potential of the twinning of the 103, and I know we're exit 13 compared to exit 5.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I hope that we're not doing work that is going to be work thrown away in 5 years' time, would be my concern here, because there will be new overpasses put in that area, and just want to make sure that whatever we're doing is able to be compatible with the potential twinning of the 103.
So we would work with transportation, and certainly the design firm has to be engaged with highways and the structures division that does that kind of work, but there's a limit to the extent that you can do that. So you can't avoid this scenario where should they come along and decide that they're going to rebuild that overpass so that there's space for twinned highway, there may be new structure costs required to cross that. And you can try and take that into account when you do your design, but I don't think we can create some kind of guarantee that that's not going to happen, because it would depend on what their design looked like for that overpass. And we also don't know Because these are not cookie cutter in terms of the cost sharing arrangement, we don't know if we cost share on this one, what their position would be, whether or not the twinning work would then be their responsibility, or if they would again come back to us and look for cost sharing from the municipality on that twinning work. Essentially, we don't really have a crystal ball to see that. It's obviously something that we would want considered during the design phase, but we can't give you those answers, and then the province simply wouldn't give us that certainty up front.
Okay, sorry, Councillor.
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Noss has got a question, and I'll come back to you.
The cost will depend on which side of the Trunk 10 they locate the sidewalk. Because they locate it on the right-hand side, they have to cross over three exits. Four, I think it is. Bucks, the one going on the 103, the one coming off the 103. So it is. And then...
we'd be looking at the other side.
Yeah. But I understand that looking at that side, not at the other side.
Okay. So. Thank you.
just to fill in, yes. Councillor Noss, that the traffic analysis has to do with the entry points, which are almost all on that side of the road. So we have indicated our preference would be to provide the pedestrian or active transportation on the other side to avoid all of those crossings. And they are considering that in their traffic analysis so that there's appropriate, for example, where you're trying to get to a business on the other side of the road, they've considered in their traffic flows that there has to be some kind of pedestrian way to cross the traffic flow, given that we plan on having the main pedestrian transportation on the other side where there aren't all those access points.
Mm-hmm. There's a little discussion going on that too.
I guess the good part of this whole scenario is that they're going to address the traffic issues that we have up there at Trunk 10. And McCullough Road is a total fiasco. Trying to get into Bucks, I have met with both the management at Bucks, with Tim, with different ones there. We do have a major problem there, or transportation has a major problem, or someone does. These are the opportunities, again, that come forward when they're doing those complete overhauls, and we're asked to look at the active transportation piece. This is a big one, and this would connect from there right up to the Walmart. Is that correct? So it would go probably to Staples and then...
connect to the plan? Existing pedestrian infrastructure that
yes,
we have there.
That is there. So with all the development that we are talking about and the potential development that is coming to Exit 12, I think that this is definitely something that we should be looking at based on what proposals we have for that area. We're talking about an influx of residents in that area, so it would make sense to be looking at this now.
Thank you. Any further comments? No? I know the city of Fredericton is spending a few hundred thousand dollars to deal with coffee shop lineups with vehicles. So, interesting in this day of global warming and carbon offsets, et cetera. Anyway. Carry on. Lunch is not here yet, so
we're doing good.
You want to carry on?
Sure. Okay. So our projected gas tax investment, I thought I'd just give you a little schedule of where the money is being planned to be spent over the next 5 years. For your information, that we know at the end of this year end, we'll probably have about $3.1 million there with another $1.2 million in revenue, so $4.4 million. Some of it's going to go on efficiency projects in our new municipal building, and we had discussed that when we approved the increase in the building budget, that there was energy efficiency opportunities to put some gas tax into that. So road paving I have in there, sewer systems, some internet and wayfinding, sustainable planning, municipal parks, AT plan, and trails. And it's just showing you over this 5 years where that gas tax is going. So based on any council decisions going forward, this table can be updated, but I thought it was a good overview of how that money was planned to be spent.
Any future capital budget plans.
Yes, we're getting close. So if we can look at the details of the future capital, we know that when you approve your capital budget, you're only approving the year that we're spending money in. However, per our gas tax agreement, we do have to approve a five-year capital plan, just a plan, not the actual spending in the years 2 to 5. So this five-year capital plan is a continuation of your strategic priorities to provide leadership and accessibility, paving roads, as well as investing in the environment through the Lehigh River Project and other wastewater treatment upgrades. You can note that anything that I've highlighted in green is a council strategic priority, so you can zoom into the ones that that council thought were important. On the following page, we're looking at investing in climate change emergency response by completing the Corporate and Community Energy Action Plan that will outline projects and determine the level of capital investment for climate change mitigation going forward. And lastly, I think this is the last slide on this, the rural internet continues to be a strategic priority. The road strategy includes cost sharing on paving projects with NSTR, TIR. Our strategic priorities covered by this plan are recreation opportunities with the completion of River Ridge Common and the development of municipal parks, including investing in the development of Sherbrooke Lake.
Okay. We have lunch delivered. Do you want to discuss this now? Would you like to take a break for lunch for 15 minutes? Or keep going. No, Councillor Knickel has indicated we keep going. So, Councillor Nolls, you have a question.
I know this is not going to go over nicely as what it should, but we have a community group that is interested in doing internet into a co-op. Why don't we let them do it? And that could save us some. This is it. We're taking it on. We have a group that would like to take it on. So why don't we move it, let them do it?
Okay, I have...
When we come to the crunch places, you have to... Oh, I'm sorry.
My mic on.
So a comment from Councillor Noss. We have a community group interested in doing internet through OCOA. Why don't we let them do it? I don't think your comments get recorded. Do we have any feedback on that? Nothing from
we will, yes.
Mr. Waters? Yeah. Or Mr. Waters coming up to the table?
Is this on the agenda, Mr. Chair?
No. It's part of the capital budget.
Okay, so we have a point of order being called here about it being on the agenda. Now that you're here, we may as well let you comment, but we'll try and keep any further discussion pivotal to the pages here.
Just so I understand the question correct, did you say there's a community group that wants to do internet with a COA?
No.
Okay, we misunderstood.
The
COA. Okay.
It's a community group that wants to do it through a COA.
Yeah. Again, we did talk about this at a previous meeting. We don't have any objection to a community group wanting to do internet. Alternative options are always a good thing. The question that we had is it didn't make practical sense for them to do a build on an area that already has in an internet project going in. So if the co-op wants to look at an area that doesn't have reasonable internet, we're happy to work with them. We're happy to do whatever. We don't think it's a viable option, but we're not opposed to somebody moving forward if that's an option they want to choose. There was the suggestion that was brought forward that they could look at the Belle Islands, Petite, Green Bay area as an example, because there is internet there, but in parts of it. The Belle Island does not have wired-based internet, so the co-op wants to look at an area in the District of Lunenburg, but by all means, there's no objection to that.
Also to Dave's. It's nice to say let the co-op go down in Bell's Island and Lehigh Islands and do it, where you let a company like Bell go up and pick all the cherries off where the money is, and then you want to send the co-op out in an area where they can't survive.
I'm happy to address that. I'll be cautious with my words. The reality of internet is based on the eligibility that is put forward from the provincial government and the federal government. So they're the ones that choose the areas that's most viable for funding. New Germany clearly was an area. We are working, we have worked for the last 3.5 years. We continue to work with providers on options for the entire district. It depends on availability. It depends on willingness of provider. It depends on eligibility. It depends on available funds. So what I'm suggesting is, again, it doesn't make practical sense for a co-op to try to compete against a company that already has funding from the federal government, or actually in this case, provincial government, to do internet in area. What we're suggesting is, and I just throw out Belle Island as an example. Again, we're happy to sit down with any co-op and explore all areas for the District of Lunenburg, but it does, in some degree, come down with the eligibility that you're enabled to do with federal and provincial government. I think Alex has a point.
Sorry, we have Councillor Morrick, and do you want to respond first, Alex?
I'd like to draw us back to the general capital discussion.
I agree. Councillor Moore, are you have comments?
I'll just have one comment. The co-op was introducing just internet only. Basically, when you've got places where service providers can cherry pick, if that's what the word you want to use, it's bundles that they're offering, and that's what the residents want. They want bundles. They want their TV, their internet, their phone, all that stuff in a bundle. And the co-op was just offering internet.
Okay, thank you. Further to Mr. Merrick's comments, we'd like to try and bring this back to the 3 pages of the capital year, budget years 2 to 5. Any comments that people have on those expenditures?
Let's have lunch.
Are there any comments people have on those pages before we break for lunch? Okay, we'll break for lunch. We'll give you maybe 15 minutes if you wish to do some eating, and then we'll come back here with your sandwiches. So 5 minutes to 12. We'll